is about risk. What's the matter? Something going on behind me? I thought everybody had this routine down. I didn't know it needed to be repeated, but that's not a good start. That's a risk you take. Amen. You know, it's been a challenge to put together this. The Lord laid this on my heart over 3 months ago, risk. And I think some of this started when I went to Haiti. I started thinking about the term of risk and what that means, meant to my life to go to Turkey or to Haiti. Now, remember? Do you remember me talking about that risk? Do you remember what I said? What was the risk? Do you remember? Illness. Exactly. I was fearful that going to Haiti, knowing it's a poor country, and I didn't know the water we would get into. I didn't know the type of people we were going to be with. And of course, you know, the papers do publish these risky things that are going on around the world today. And so that was one of the fears that I had to work through as I was doing this. The question I have is, have you ever got to the place where you came to know Christ in a new way and you're unwilling to go back to the old way? Anybody ever been in that place and position? You learn something new. He gave you new hope. He gave you new beginnings. And so with that, I'd like to have a testimony. Gene, do you want to come up and give your testimony now? Gene's asked to do this.
Okay, I don't know where to start, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I started coming to church here, and when I come to church here, I wasn't here but about maybe a year, and my appendix ruptured, and I didn't know it, so I phoned Colleen King, because she lived next door to me, and she says, I got to get you to the hospital. We got over to Walla Walla, and she didn't know where the hospital was. I didn't know, but we made it in time. The doctor took me in, and he came back out when he got done. He says, you're lucky to be alive. Well, I thought that was the end of it. And I didn't know that God was helping me for a reason. Well, then I had my hip surgeries, both of them done. And after that, I thought, okay, the Lord wants me still to be here. Well, okay, I thought that was it. Well, you know what? I moved to Walla Walla. I had to have rotating cuff surgery done. Well, that went good. Then the next thing I knew, I had to have a stent put in my heart. But I come to know that God wanted me here for a reason. And I come to God for everything I can. And without his help, I had never made it. And that's my testimony.
Let's pray. Jesus, Jean is giving you all credit and praise for what you've done in her life. And you've given her a purpose and plan for life. Thank you for this testimony. Lord, thank you for all the many times that she had to trust you and believe in you and now can say excitingly, God, you are my provider. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Jean.
Thank you, everybody.
In a minute. There's another one that's going to give a testimony in a minute. I don't know if you know this dude, but he's kind of one of my cohorts on Wednesday nights. And so far, we've not been bitten by a dog. And so far, we haven't been thrown in jail. And people still let us come and talk. Taking a risk for Christ. Can someone give me a thought of what it would mean for you to say that I would take a risk for Christ? Anybody. I believe in messages there should be participation. I don't believe you should sit there and sleep and meditate on what's for lunch, what you're going to do after church, or how bad life is. I think we should participate as family. So what? Give me some examples of things you've done you consider to be a risk to be a follower of Christ. Anybody? Yes. praying without permission. So you just, did you ask permission, meaning may I pray for you, or just doing it? Okay, there's a risk. Okay, someone else? Oh, well, so what was so big about that? Yes, that was a big one. You had to trust because you just come out of surgery. What else?
Just going to a place where I didn't know the language, didn't know the people, didn't know the culture, and it was the first mission trip I'd ever been on.
And you didn't know what you're going to get into. Exactly. So, did I see another hand over here? Anybody else a risk factor? Preaching. Kind of like this, huh? Okay. Yes, Peggy. Moving here without knowing somebody. Okay. Yes. Just 1 minute. God, this thing is wanting to fall in my ear. Terrible. What's that? Okay. That's a risk. Stacy.
Moving to Kansas.
Is that a good place to live?
It became a place we were supposed to be.
In the moment.
But going there was not what I wanted to do.
All right. See. Amen. In your bulletins, I need a volunteer to come forward. Any volunteer, come forward, please. And bring out little insert that's in your bulletin with you, please. Remember, this is participation time. Paul's coming. I'd like Paul to read this, and you can look through this. And I'd like, as Paul's... Paul thought he was getting off of some of this stuff today, but here he is. I'd like Paul to read this, and I'd like you to follow through and observe anything in there that you consider maybe might be a risk to you to do. So, Paul, go for it.
To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is the risk of appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is a risk of involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before the crowd is a risk of their loss. To love is to risk of not being loved in return. To live is a risk of dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, change to their creditudes.
Changed by their creditudes.
Certitudes. They are a slave. They have forfeited their freedom. The only person who risks is free. Only a person who risks is free.
Thank you. Okay. So what do you think? Is there any truth to this? You can all speak at once or not at all. But I will get participation eventually, because you'll just get tired of looking at me. Yes.
I like this poem a lot.
Why? Okay.
It's fun. It's exciting. And I think that in life, one of the greatest risks is to get married.
Okay.
Another one is how you form a family. We risk bringing people into our family that weren't just babies. They were just wonderful people. And the risk has brought so much joy. I can't tell you. And then we had 8 of us all, 8 kids all together, and then they went out and brought in more. Oh, wow. And it's because we weren't afraid to take it. I
hasn't always been easy. But can you hear all this up there? Can you hear this up there, Mike? Okay. She's saying that she's tried to teach her children to take risk. And if you're not willing to take risk, you're going to miss out on some real joy in life. And that being married is a risk. Amen? Whew. Yes, it is. And also, the fact that she not only had the 8 children, but they went out and made more family. And so everything in life is a risk. Amen? Now, when you came here today, was it a risk driving here? Right? Now, in this risk for Christ, it is so serious that there's a blessing in the receiving. What's the reward on the other side of the risk? Now, we know in life, I mean, here's I'll be honest with you, I struggle with two words. The extrovert and the introvert, okay? I don't find them in Scripture. Now, what I do see, though, in life, you've got those people who will take a risk and maybe be seen as an extrovert, and the introvert will stay behind on this. Okay, I understand that. But I don't see in Scripture where Jesus says there's going to be the introverts and the extroverts. Now, if it's there, Mr. Wilcox, you're a man of the Word of God. Tell me, are those two words found anywhere in Scripture? No. So here's gets to be the big question as we go through this. Is Christ who he says he is in my life? Do I trust him? And am I willing to obey what he's asked me to do, such as to go to Kansas? Will I survive? Nicaragua. Why did you make that decision? Why?
Well, I just felt God was telling me to do it, and I got to go with my family.
Yes.
That's a great way to go on a first mission.
You felt God was calling you. Amen. Gabriel, come up here a minute, would you? This is my buddy Gabriel. He's been so faithful to present. So can I ask you some questions? Okay. Gabriel, what's it been like for you to take the risk to get out on the street?
It's basically the way I see it is that I owe my life to the Lord, and as being one of his sheep, he left us here, every single one of you, here on earth to do what he did and be a shepherd to the lost sheep that are out there. And I believe I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray, threw his loving arms around me, and drew me back his way. Every single one of us are shepherds. Jesus left us here to be shepherds. And I believe that there is a lot of sheep out there that we need to go herd up. And that's what me and Bob do every Wednesday. We go door to door trying to herd these sheep up and pray for them. And you know what? We don't just go out there and be serious about it. But you know what? We have a great time doing it. It's just an awesome feeling. And I just know that I owe my life to God. And I know that he has brought me out of a ditch. I mean, with nothing else to do, all I did was call on him and scream for him. For life, to give me life back. And he said, well, geez, it's about time. Now I got things for you to do. Now I got something to work with here, you know what I mean? So anyway, he brings me and Lori here to Athena. And I'll tell you right now, the prayers that I have prayed for have just come to complete true life, and so it's so awesome. And basically being involved, you know, it's like Delbert was saying a while back. He was up here preaching, and it really touched my heart. It was, and I keep it in my mind all the time. You know, when you're praying and you ask God for this thing that you really need done, or And you're expecting that, and just relying on taking a risk, relying on the Lord that he's going to do that. Well, you know what? We all have to be a part of that prayer. And we need, and there, every prayer is not going to be any good unless we work for that prayer. So anytime anybody prays, you got to be a part of that prayer, and I can guarantee you that God will provide for you. So that's what I got to say.
You want to share any more? You finished?
Yeah.
Finished?
Under 5 minutes.
All right.
I opened up the book this morning, and I'm at John 10:7-10. And then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find the pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." And that's what God does for every single one of us, is give us an abundant life. And it's just great. Thanks, Bob.
Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for Gabriel. I thank you for his life, his testimony. God, I thank you for his courage and just his desire to go. Not afraid, just go. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
This is the kind of thing I think we as Christians need support to know that even if I've been in a ditch, and even if I've suffered from illnesses, this is going to go. That I have a Father who loves me unconditionally and is going to go with me. One of the things that I think that gets into challenges for our risk-taking is, do I understand the purpose to my life? How many people here today can say, I absolutely understand why God has put me here on this earth for what I'm called to do? How many can say that? Is it a struggle to know it? Amen. So as I look at the purpose, it says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Now that was Jesus' purpose. Do you think he wanted us to have the same purpose? Yes or no? Yes? Okay. Rick Warren, pastor of author of The Purpose-Driven Life, states that you were made by God and for God. Until you understand that, life will never make sense. So if we don't understand our purpose, why are we here, what are we doing, we're going to be lost. Are we all on the same page? You're looking a little tired right now, so I want to keep you excited, okay? Now, there's also this command to go. Now, is the introvert or the extrovert mentioned in that scripture to go? Larry Kopic's saying no. That must be a no. Because Larry knows what he's talking about. Amen? All right. Now, I found something in Matthew 8:28-20. It says, "But even the disciples, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain, which was Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful." I'd never seen this before. You would think that if Jesus said to go to the mountain and they worshiped, wouldn't you think that they knew what was really going on? But it says they were doubtful. "And Jesus came up to them and spoke to them." Now, he must have known the doubt. I'm just guessing. I'm just assuming here. And Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, he says go to do what? To do what? Make disciples. And did he give you any indication that you were all on your own when you went to do this? What did he say in Scripture? "I will be with you." Now, you take a risk for Jesus, Nicaragua. Did Jesus show up in Nicaragua? Gabriel, when we're out on the street, Does Jesus show up out there on the street? So, I'm trying to get to a bottom line here. If Jesus says, I will go with you, and I'm always with you, so when we're out in Nicaragua, Haiti, on the streets of Athena, and he says he's already with you, what do we have to fear? Seriously, help me out. Talk back to me. What do we have to fear?
Nothing.
Nothing, okay? So what keeps me from going to a place of risking? Now, this isn't, don't get me wrong here. This is not always about going to a home. I'm talking about giving a testimony of Christ. What would keep me from giving something? I'll give you an example. A businessman I was with Friday, and he was helping me with something. And he was telling me about his business, and he said he was really struggling. He was behind because he didn't have enough help. It was hard to find help. And I says to him, I says, may I pray for you? What do you think he said? What do you think he said? Okay, he said no. He said no. But I gave him the opportunity, amen? So this is the key, this thing, is you ask, may I pray for you? Don't say, I'm going to pray for you. So after he left me, I prayed for him. Yes. Gabriel. Bow down. I agree. Comfort zones. Comfort zones are zones that you and I have identified for ourselves. It's safe. Right? I have comfort zones. You do too. Amen? Now, if we get into God's comfort zone, what do you think that looks like? Scary. I agree. What else? Do you think there's discomfort in God's comfort zone? Ken, now you've been a pastor. Does Jesus put you in a place as a pastor a lot of times where you're discomfortable about your comfort zone, but he takes you there anyway? it's a risk to be a follower of Christ. And Larry, go ahead. Larry's saying that when we're really in God's comfort zone, we are submitted to his desires and his wishes, and it will be comfortable because we're knowing his will. I'd like to give a testimony also. I don't know how many of you remember a gal by the name of Casey Tate. Casey Tate was raised here at ACC, graduated from Weston McEwen High School, and has been in Israel. So I thought, if I'm going to give a message, let's sign somebody that's been on the front lines. Amen? Now, where's she been? She's been on the borders of Syria, both Jordan and Turkey. Now, is that a risk? Now, if you don't know what Casey looks like, she is white, Caucasian, and blonde. Now, do you think that somewhere in Syria that she might be seen as a little different than everybody else? So I says to Casey, I'm going to try to basically kind of say what she said as she gave me the message back. When we move toward the thought of co-laboring with Christ, this gives us the freedom to go and do things for his kingdom. Radical obedience is willing to totally walk by faith and trust in what Jesus says his power can do through us. That was basically my writing down what she quoted me back. Now, that was a risk. Amen? And she's back in the States. Just got back in 2 days ago, I believe. And the reason she's back, she's lost her visa time. And so she has to now reapply for the, and she left all her stuff in Israel and had to get out. Now she's waiting to get back in again when she can. But she was talking to us. And Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Now, does this not get to be a struggle to understand, is the power there for me to work with? Amen? That is a struggle. Amen? And I want to quote some stuff here from Steve Stewart, who Impact Ministries, of which Cindy was involved with, and Haiti I was involved with, going. He says, it's always risky following Jesus. He always just takes us out of our comfort zones where we have to both trust and learn from him. Those who will advance in the kingdom activity are those who are willing to take risks, not exceptions. The enemy's three strategies, though, are to keep us from the kingdom activity by, what do you think is the first one? Fear, discouragement, or distraction. And he goes on to say, what you believe about the king determines how you live your life. So, is this making sense? What are you hearing from the message of risk? Give me some feedback. Mike, what are you hearing about risk?
I'm hearing that I need to step out more. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. And if Mike, if you take that risk and step out, do you believe that he's going to be there with you as you do it?
I do believe
that. Yes. And there comes our faith and trust system. Amen? Believing. Okay. Someone else. Give me some feedback. Chrissy. Yes. And I think that's where Larry's trying to go with this comfort zone. When it doesn't get to be about me, and I trust him and believe, as Mike said, I will go. And one of the things that I think is a challenge is always the fear mode. And Gabriel, we've stepped in some holes, and we've fallen in some holes, but we've always been able to come back from those places because the Lord's gone before us. And I remember the one night. We went out to work. Gabriel had been working on a house, painting it, and we tried to give these apples and oranges, and the guy, he was kind of hard on us. And then eventually his wife came to the door and talked to us, and she started just being real friendly because we started connecting with some things of our community. And so it got friendlier and easier every moment we talked. And so when we left, he said, we prayed, Father, you're the one that does the calling, and we're going to trust you in this situation, because that was kind of a rough one. The very next day, Gabriel goes back to paint the house, and this dude walks out saying, you know, we prayed for my wife's cancer, and it got healed, and it had a big smile on his face. And the very next day, the father, somehow he had softened up his heart for Gabriel anyway, and said, hey, my father's been, I believe in my father. One of the things that I would like to leave with you here today is Delbert handed us a book, which I know Larry is just in love with this book. It's called The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. Okay? Autopsy of a Deceased Church. So how would ACC know it has any symptoms of being a dying church? How would anybody know this? What would it take? Mike, what do you think? Okay, attendance. Okay, recognize? That's one? Yes. Okay, all ages coming in, new people. Okay. Paul.
When you have more funerals in a single year than you have baptism.
Okay. Symptom? Anybody else? Symptoms? Oh, okay. How boring the pastor is. Now, one of the challenges, so I step into this arena of the symptoms. What do I want to do about the symptoms? Do I want to go out and encourage whatever I can or believe in people who are out there or do whatever? And I think that's one of the challenges I want to leave with ACC this morning. What are you willing to do on your part to go love on somebody outside these walls to the point that they'd maybe say, hey, maybe you've got something I need inside those walls. And there's a big difference. One is trying to get them to come here versus us going there, okay? And I just encourage you to believe by faith that God wants to take you outside these walls and encourage you to meet people where they are. And I want to give you one other quick way to do this. Worship team, you want to come forward, please. Is when you're driving down the street, how many people here are fearful of praying for other people? Raise your hands if you have fear of praying for other people, especially with them around there, right? I'm going to give you a little hint here how to do this. You're driving down the street, and you wave at somebody you don't even know. And you say, Jesus, bless them today. I don't know who they are. Lead them, Jesus. Lead them to you. Call them in. I know you're calling them. So, Lord, give them some blessing today they can have. And they go zooming by you. They didn't hear your prayer, and only you and the Father were involved. Does that take too much? Pray for people as you pass them, okay? As we draw closure to here, I just share with you that I believe by Scripture, Jesus said, I'm with you wherever you go. You're never alone. And that's what gives me the confidence to go out when we go out on the streets. And whether I go into the post office or whether I go to the parts house, I try to just, if I don't speak a prayer, just give a word of encouragement and a smile. Something. You guys have seen enough people walk in this post office down here with that, you know, that dark look. They just are discouraged. Maybe it's old Jason across the street there sitting on his bench over there.
Drinking a pop.
Pardon?
Drinking a pop.
Drinking a pop. So here's what he did this last week to me. I'm always waving and yelling. He says, I probably shouldn't even say this in church, but I will anyway. He says, how's your opium business doing? I go, whoa, where'd this come from, Jason? Oh, he says, I'm just trying to be funny with you. But you never know when you say something like to Jason on this on the street. You know, where are you coming up with this stuff, Jason? So anyway.
I got one for you.
Yes. That sounds like Jason. But you know, I had been praying for Jason when Luis Palau came. I said, God, I just pray that Jason will have an opportunity to witness you. And if you remember that day, he was one of the first that came forward. I remember watching him, and I said to him, I said, Jason, you made my day. Because, you know, when you've prayed for people and believe people, and I do know that Jason has been attending up at the Baptist Church. And so, praise God, he's being encouraged and he's being directed. And I know he's gone on a men's retreat with those guys up there. So Jason's getting encouragement as well as anybody else. But you know, he's one of those dudes you don't know what you're getting into when you visit with. But that's okay. That's okay, isn't it? So as we close, yes. 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 True. Noreen's talking that when she worked at Bi-Mart, when people come in, they're just as afraid as you are afraid of them. But once you make the first move and get the chance to visit with them, they'll come to you. Bob, you had something to say? Yes? Yes? There's a reward and risk. I thank you for letting me share today. This has been my heart, and I'm here to encourage you. And I'm telling you, Wednesday night, 6:30, you want to show up, we will take you out on the street with us. And I guarantee you, it'll every Wednesday we go is different. We never know what we're getting into. And that I just invite you to come. Yes, Paul? Absolutely. Anybody. Kids, we'll take you with us. Yes. Hide the beer, the preacher's here. Well, a little sorry on that side. My grandma used to come to the house, and Dad might have a beer every now and then. It was this rule that you didn't talk about it, and you made sure it wasn't out when Grandma came to the house either. So I was brought up with that rule. So you know what's cool? We've been in some inebriated situations, and we've just stayed low and key and friendly and accepted them unconditionally just where they were. And that's what we worked through. And we tried to see them where they were, not what they were not doing right or wrong. And it's we've been blessed. They've received us in. And I mean, tell you, they'd had more than one, but that was okay because we loved them anyway and gave them a gift. And I think the cool part about this gifting is that we're not expecting anything in return. It's a gift. It's free. It's yours, and we don't expect anything. So it's all good. Let us think this morning. God's love's free. On the cross, cost him everything. So this morning is if there's anybody that needs prayer this morning, I don't know if it's a mountain, I don't know if it's a sea, I don't know if it's a desert. Let us come forward. Let us pray for you and keep you encouraged as we walk through this time together. And I think what's cool about ACC, we strive to be a family, to love unconditionally on one another, just for who you are, and just receive you in. I think that's a blessing. You can talk about symptoms, but I think that's one symptom at ACC we strive to never have. And Delbert's preached this since the day came. Amen? You are more important to me than anything you could say or do wrong. And I think that's a positive symptom, even though there may be other areas that we're struggling. So let us go to closing prayer here, okay? Father, thank you for this time. And I just pray, Lord, today, the words that you've given me, the words from your word, Holy Spirit, are going to set your captives free. And I pray that, Father, where we have fear, discouragements, and we feel just abandonment moments, I just declare that that's the enemy. That's not Jesus. That's not the love. That's not the shepherd's words. Those are words of you, Satan. And we just declare that you have no authority, no power on us. We are children of the Most High God. And we just declare for ACC, Father, if there are symptoms of things that we are not looking to from your perspective, humble us and break us and open us to God, hear your voice in times of what is going on around us, whether it's the post office, wherever it is. Lord Jesus, in our own families, let us be good listeners for you to speak through us, Jesus, this day. Amen. Let us sing.